Listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We have a great series going on. Hopefully you've been able to hear some of the previous episodes talking with authors of...
He Restores My Soul.
There you go.
I remembered it.
Yes.
HRMS stands for He Restores My Soul.
Yes, it does. Still.
Yes.
We've been able to talk to a bunch of very talented women who have very fantastic stories about... their lives and things that a lot of us probably can relate to about the struggles that we go through and ways of handling them from a Christian identity, a Lutheran identity, and relying on Christ and his promises.
And yes, the authors are women, and they are their stories.
We still let you in on these interviews,
but
Andy.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me be a part of this. Yeah, I can identify with not all the aspects, obviously. I'm not a woman, but I can identify with some of the crosses they have to bear in some ways.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of it is also helping families understand what's happening.
Helping me understand the women in my life.
There you go. Yeah, you go. Exactly.
Let's get to our author. It's way more interesting to me.
I like that better. Joining us again for her second chapter in this book, Cheryl Swope, author of chapter 14, Train Up a Child, based on the verse, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Welcome back to the Coffee Hour, Cheryl. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you very much.
So this is the final chapter in the book about what happens when children grow up and leave the faith. How that affects a family and the journey that parents go through when that happens. More people than we probably realize deal with this, but what was the inspiration behind this chapter?
It was a twofold inspiration. One, I know someone whom I admire greatly. She attends church without her husband every week. She raised her children in the faith. She brought them to the baptismal font. She brought them to church every Sunday. And they were confirmed. They stayed in the church with her until they went off to either college or work. She prayed that they would not follow the ways of her husband, but would instead retain all that they had been taught, all that they had been given, and that they would marry people who were Christians. She prayed greatly. And one currently is not attending church, has a grandchild out of wedlock, who is not baptized. Has a child and is her grandchild. She wells with tears whenever she talks about it. She has talked and prayed and shared scripture. And so far, neither her husband nor this child nor the grandchild, none of them is in church, and yet she is still. The other child did marry a Christian woman, and the child is baptized. But the agony, whenever we are alone and we talk about the burdens of the heart, that's the burden. And yet, she will not give up. She will not give up praying for them. And she never gives up going to church herself. And not just as an example at all. It's because she knows where she needs to be. She knows where her own hope is. She wants to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And she wants her whole family to be there too. So that's the first part of the inspiration. I admire the strength that she's been given, the courage, the tenacity, the hope that one day all of her loved ones will, in fact, hear the gospel and by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the word, will receive faith. And I know that if that happens, then she will be the most joyous person. And until then, she really carries this burden with her all the time. The other aspect that was that inspired me was that that in college, despite having loving parents and having been baptized and confirmed myself, I went away to a state university. I had already attended public school all the way through K through 12, so I had, I guess, adversaries to the faith pretty much my whole life in my education. But then when I went to a state university, everything was marginalized even more. And not only that, truly attacked. There was the notion, because I was in education, there was the notion that it was hammered into us that man is basically good, meaning the child is basically good. And so then, by extension, our approach to education should be really to get out of the child's way and let him express himself, let him be creative. All of this goodness is going to come out. It came from romanticism, but honestly, it's really antithetical to Christianity, of course, because we're conceived in sin. We need teachers and parents to guide us and pastors. But this was this romanticized view of humankind that honestly is appealing to a lot of us, but especially to a young person. And I sort of just, I fell away myself. Stopped going to church, started believing a lot of the things that I was hearing. And I too had someone who prayed for me constantly. And that was my grandmother. She would send me cards with scripture. She told me later that she cried buckets of tears, or actually I found out later in her diaries. She lived to be 100, but she's no longer living now, and she passed down all of her diaries, 50 years of diaries, to me. And she was in the same sort of pain that my friend is in now, but like my friend, she did not give up. She persevered by the grace of God. She continued praying for me. And when I came back to the faith and then married a Christian man, raised my children in the faith, gave her Christian great-grandchildren who would send her then, in her later years, scriptures that she could put on her own refrigerator. That was their handwriting. They wrote scriptures and decorated the borders of it and then sent it to great-grandma. And then in her later years, really later months, I guess, she had kind of a crisis of faith herself. It was, you could just see the devil trying to work to take her away. And there was a Lutheran chaplain. She was at a Lutheran senior services place. And myself and my children, and we stayed with her, and we prayed the Lord's Prayer with her, said the Apostles' Creed, and her lips started moving right along with, and there was this peacefulness that came about, and it was such, well, full circle is the only thing I can come up with. It's a little trite, but it was just such a wonderful reminder of the perseverance of prayer and the word. So that's really, that was the impetus of the book. And when we see people in our lives who we pray for and hope that they are going to one day be granted faith, I included this in our chapter, in the chapter on this, because my grandmother prayed for me. Hear us, dear Father, when we pray for needed help from day to day, that as your children we may live, whom you baptized and so received. Lord, when we fall or go astray, absolve us and lift us up, we pray, and through the sacrament increase our faith, so we depart in peace.
That is certainly one thing that parents and loved ones can pray when they see someone leave the church or depart from the faith. What are the questions that parents experience when they see their child leave the church or leave the faith? What are some of the questions that...
Yeah, I can tell you what I see in my friend is, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. She sent them to public school. She wonders, should I have homeschooled? She thinks, did I just not do enough? I mean, did I not give enough of a Christian example or Christian instruction, catechesis? What did I do that I was not able to overcome the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil? And she takes that burden with her because she knows it's serious business being a parent. And even though her husband's influence was certainly just as great, not going to church and not caring, at least not visibly, for the faith he had received in his own baptism, she still wonders not only what should I have done, but what more should I be doing? What more can I do now? And I will say that when that unbaptized, yet unbaptized, grandchild comes to call and comes over to her house, she will read that child Bible stories. The child is interested. He wants to hear more. So it's not as if she has given up or remained silent at all. She continues to speak and continues to talk and even post scripture in her home that her husband might see it. He's kind of failing in health now. But I think those questions can be almost torturous, really. What did I do? And so then she too has to go back and receive forgiveness for where she might have failed. I mean, we all do. So she can be forgiven, and then she can just, again, hope and pray that God will grant her loved one faith.
We have just about a minute left. I know that's not a lot of time for this, but being a collaborator for this book with Katie Schuurman and having the final chapter, what is it that you hope readers will get both out of your chapter and out of this book as a whole?
I think a sense of the universalness of human need. And I know you and Andy were kind of joking about how it's a women's book. No, it's a human book. And it should be that all of us are able to know in whom we have our life, in whom we have everything, and in whom we have our hope.
Absolutely. Cheryl Swope, collaborator with Katie Schuurman on the book He Restores My Soul, available from Emmanuel Press at emmanuelpress.us.
Thanks. Emmanuel with an E.
Emmanuel with an E. Thank you, Andy. Cheryl, thanks so much for joining us on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates. The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.